On Faith's Edge, episode 23, author Connie Wetzel joins the show to talk about her new book, The You Plan, A Christian Woman's Guide for a Happy, Healthy Life After Divorce.
Hi, this is Karen Jensen, and you're listening to On Faith's Edge with my good friend, Joe Taylor.
This is On Faith's Edge, where engaging, enlightening, and entertaining content brings us closer to living an authentic faith. We'll talk faith and life with people in business and entertainment as we work out the space where God and life collide. On Faith's Edge.
Here it comes.
And now your host, Joe Taylor.
Yes. Hi. This is a tough subject coming up, but I really think Connie Wetzel does a great job handling it from a Christian perspective. I'm really glad you're here. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Welcome to On Faith's Edge. My name is Joe Taylor, recovering atheist and your servant in Jesus Christ. This is your place to hear conversations with people of faith in business and entertainment from all walks of life and levels of success. They all have one thing in common. They believe in God, and they come here to talk about it. Last episode, wow, what an amazing show. The feedback from this particular show was just really overwhelming. It really touched some hearts out there. We spoke with singer-songwriter Alanka Deaton. Alanka was held in sexual slavery in South Africa for 5 years through the threat of her and her family's life. She is now rescued, redeemed, set free, and is a healthy, full of life, complete woman in Jesus Christ. Her inspiring message is one of victorious life, freedom, tears, laughter, and hope for any wounded heart. Alanka has performed worldwide as well as collaborating and performing on projects with people like Michael W. Smith, Rebecca St. James, Paul Coleman, and Phil Kagi. That's just to name a few. She has 5 albums, Fly, Holding On, Jesus Joy of Life, and her latest, Ever and Ever. She also has a Christmas album out called Classic Christmas. Her story can be heard on Faith's Edge, episode 22. Just go to onfaithsedge.com/22. Hey, by the way, we'll continue to give away a free copy of a beautiful song, Holding On, to everyone that signs up for the show for show updates. You can do that on the website or just send me an email. I'll make sure you get one, joe@onfaithsedge.com. Coming up right now on today's show, author, radio personality, and voiceover artist Connie Wetzel joins us. Connie is a popular Christian radio personality and voiceover recording artist. She's the author of Healing Word of God, a CD audio series that combines original music and scripture created as a medicine for the soul. She joins us today to talk about a Christian woman's life after divorce, and choices that will help heal and learn how to have a happy, healthy life. She, along with Michelle Borquez, wrote The You Plan, a detailed roadmap for women navigating the personal and circumstantial landmines of an unexpected divorce. Stick around until the end of the show to find out how you can get a free copy of The You Plan. Hello, Connie. Welcome to On Faith's Edge.
Well, hello, Joe. Great to be here today.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on the show. I really, really do. We're here to talk with you about your new book, The You Plan, A Christian Woman's Guide for a Happy, Healthy Life After Divorce. Gosh, Connie, what a subject. What a subject. Several years back, you wrote Live, Laugh, and Love Again with Michelle Borquez. That book was about living a life after divorce. And this is a kind of a follow-up book to that. Tell us a little bit about that book and what brought you to write The You Plan.
Well, Live, Laugh, Love Again was written by 4 women. We were all different ages. We had different age children. We were different races. We came from different places and just totally different backgrounds. And we came together as we were recently going through our divorces. And we wrote Live, Laugh, Love Again about going through the stages of grief during the divorce process, but still trying to be, you know, hopeful and positive and looking forward to, you know, even though it was a very difficult time, what, you know, what our new lives were going to have in store for us. And, you know, all we ever really have is the present moment. So none of us knew, you know, what was going to happen, you know, in the future. But we addressed it with a very positive spin and tried to give divorced women that were going through those horrible stages of grief hope and inspiration to just, you know, plug forward and move forward and see what God has in store. And, of course, heavily relying on the promises of the Word of God to do that. So here it was about 10 years later, and Michelle and I decided to go ahead and write a sequel to the book because Michelle is remarried. She still has children that are at home. And then I am not remarried, although I had been in a couple of serious relationships during this 10-year process. And my children are grown and gone, and so I'm completely flying solo. And so, again, speaking from different perspectives, it's kind of like where we are now. You know, here's where we were then. Here's where we are now. Here's a few little bumps and potholes we walked in along the way. Here's some things that we learned by some of the mistakes that we feel that we've made. And we hope you don't go there, but as we all know, Joe, most people just have to walk their own journey before they actually get it and learn lessons about life. But we're just kind of, you know, it's a where we are now, and we both, again, come from different perspectives. So we thought it would be a good read.
You know, there is a very interesting back and forth between you and Michelle in this book. And as you alluded to before, you both come from very different post-divorce experiences. Tell us a little bit about these differences and why it's so important to this message.
Well, first of all, Michelle, she was married for about 11 or 12 years. I can't remember exactly, but her and her husband kind of just grew apart, and he's the one who decided to leave the marriage. But it was pretty much of a we grew apart, kind of don't love each other anymore type deal, and couldn't make things work, and he wanted to end the marriage. She was completely devastated over that, and she had very small kids when this happened. My situation was completely different. My children were grown. They were 20 and 23. I was married for 26 years. In what I thought was way better than, I thought it was an above average marriage. I thought we were doing very, very well. Divorce was the furthest thing from my mind. It wasn't even an option. It wasn't on my radar in the least. And out of nowhere, an old high school sweetheart decided to email my husband about some kind of class reunion coming up, and from there, I guess an email relationship began that went on for about 4 months, and they decided to meet, and in that meeting, he decided that he loved her and he was leaving me, and it was the shock of the century, not only for me, but for my kids, our extended family, and our friends. I mean, when me and my husband got a divorce, women that I knew were sitting down with their husband saying, look, if these two people can get a divorce, anybody can. And I want to know right now if there's anything you're unhappy about, because we got to fix it. I mean, that's how much of a shock it was. So, yes, both Michelle and I had very, very different experiences in getting our divorces.
So how did you go about the healing, Connie?
Well, first of all, you got to let it sink in what in the world is happening to you. When you get broadsided the way I did, I mean, my whole life changed on a dime. He told me he was leaving. He was out of the house within a week. Within 6 months, I was a divorced woman. But upon first hearing, I'm leaving you, literally, I sat in a corner for 3 days, and I rocked back and forth. I'm like, okay, I've got to wake up from this nightmare. Surely this is a nightmare. This isn't reality. I have to wake up. And then you have the hope that, you know, it's like you have the hope. He's coming back. He'll come to his senses. You know, this isn't really going to come down. Divorce doesn't happen to Christian people. And we were both very active in our church. And it just was just something that was so far off my radar that it just completely blindsided me. So after the 3 days of, you know, rocking back and forth in the corner, it's like, okay, this is happening. He's gone. And I got up and the first thing I did was I called an attorney and this is why it's so hard, because in this time of your life when you're going through the most, you're so emotionally distraught and spent and you don't know your eyeball from your big toe. And now you have to start making good decisions, financial decisions and things like that. Because what I say in that book is this: what started out as a cherished vow and covenant before God and friends that we made between each other, what started out as that turns out to be nothing more than a business transaction at the end when you're talking about divorce. Because what it boils down to is who gets what? What do you want? How are we going to split this? So the first thing I did was I made a call to my attorney. And I didn't have an attorney, but I started, you know, doing research, talking to people that had gone through divorce and, you know, can you recommend somebody? Went for a couple of consultations, picked somebody out, and now I'm working with a divorce lawyer. And then, thank God, I had such a phenomenal friend base, so many wonderful people in my life that prayed with me and walked with me through this so that I didn't really have to go through it by myself. You know, couple friends and then just girlfriends and then men that were actually in our lives that went to my husband and tried to counsel him and make, you know, talk some sense into him. And I think when there's a third party involved, Joe, you know, when a guy's at that place and he's got his mind on somebody else, it's almost hopeless. And it was, you know, he had counsel from our male friends that we hung out with and did stuff with, but his mind was made up. He was out of there. And so, yeah, it was the legal counsel. And then it was friends lifting me up and praying for me. And just, you kind of just have to get all your ducks in a row. All of a sudden I had to carve out a career. I had to figure out what I was doing financially. He was a CPA. I never wrote a check in my life. I never lived on my own. I didn't know how to handle money. So Dave Ramsey, who's a dear friend of mine, I went to Dave right away and I said, this is what I got going for me. I don't know anything about money. And he said, okay, I'm going to get you all the materials for Financial Peace University. What night do you want to attend? Tuesday or Wednesday night. And he gave me all the materials and he signed me up and paid for the class. And so then I was learning about money, and you just do what you got to do, but you need the strength to do it, and you need your faith and your friends and your people that are standing there with you and lifting you up, because you can't do it. You know, you can't do it by yourself. So I'm thankful that in the midst of that storm, and that low point in my life, I had such great people around me, and that's how I did it.
That brings me to an interesting question, Connie. This book is about healing, and it's also a very practical book. It's about taking life step by step. I mean, you covered just about everything in this book that can be covered. Everything, there are frankly no secrets in this book. You cover everything from online dating, juggling a career, the kids, the splitting friends, sex. Tell us about stepping back into life and dealing with these matters.
Well, you know, you've been married for 26 years, so you're a couple. And now, in my particular situation, I go from being a mom of having two kids at home, and now all of a sudden I've gone through empty nest syndrome, divorce, menopause, and a milestone birthday all at the same time. And so I've got to figure out how to navigate life now as a single woman with no kids at home. And when a husband leaves a wife, and particularly he leaves her for somebody else, the first thing is, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough. I'm too much this. I'm too much that. If I only did this, maybe I should have done that. This. So what does a, where does a woman go for validation to feel like she's good enough, pretty enough, this enough, that enough, smart enough? What if she wants to be validated by a man? So the first thing a lot of women try to do is to get that validation by finding, you know, some guy that's going to give them that validation. And that's exactly what happened to me. And it's not that I even went out looking for it. There was a gentleman that I had known for 10 years that was going through a divorce at the same time, and he contacted me, and we started with phone calls and crying on each other's shoulders and this and that, and the next thing I know is he's coming over my house to fix things, and then you know, the next time he comes over, then I cook him dinner, and then it's phone calls every night, and then one thing leads to another, and then all of a sudden your brain is functioning like you're 16 years old again, and your hormones are raging, and all of these feelings that you thought died within you really weren't dead, they were just dormant, and now this guy has come into your life, and whoo, you know, and yeah, and you're just thinking like a teenager, and that's why I try to stress, and I've learned this from my own mistakes, because that's what happened, was I got in relationships too quickly, and didn't take the time that I needed to heal emotionally. You know, you got to figure, Joe, when you go through something like this, this is a 911, mm-hmm. okay? The Twin Towers just went down in your life. Now, you can't rebuild the Twin Towers right away. And this is what we try to do, is we think we're okay. Oh, I'm okay. You know, I'm doing fine. I went out and I did this and I paid the bills and life is good and oh my gosh, and I got a date and I'm cool, you know. But you are so damaged inside from having the two that were once one now ripped apart. You're bleeding profusely. Mm. You know, so what do you want? You want a Band-Aid instead of a Band-Aid if you're a woman. You want a Band-Aid to stop up all your bleeding, right? Mm-hmm. And so how's that going to happen? Well, you're going to get in a relationship with a guy, and he's going to fix you, because men fix women, right?
Did you find...
what?
Did you find that soon after your divorce or soon after the split, that you had friends coming out of the woodwork trying to, I guess, quote-unquote, fix you up?
Not only that, but the big shock was, and I'm not going to say, but I had a pastor's wife come up to me, a pastor's wife, you know, knowing that I had been married 26 years, and I saw her, and, you know, I told her what happened, and of course, me being the emotional Italian, you know, I'm sobbing, I'm crying, he left, and she's like, oh, honey, don't worry about it, you're so beautiful, you'll find somebody real quick. Like, see, like that was going to be the fixer.
Wow.
Don't worry. You'll find somebody. And once that happens, you're going to put all this stuff behind you and you're going to be fine. And that's not the answer. It's great for you to find somebody. It's great to, you know, to have that wonderful relationship and, you know, the word says it's not good for man to be alone and two are better than one, but there is a time and place for that to happen. And all I'm saying is after the healing, after you take the time, let's build those twin towers back up again. Let's take the time to heal, and then maybe we'll make some smarter and better decisions.
You know, Connie,
I walked in pothole after pothole with different relationships with guys. I finally got it, I hope.
So I got to ask, is there a relationship in your life right now?
No. To be quite honest with you, I am currently on a dating site, a Christian dating site.
Very cool.
And I've been on one for about 6 months because I just moved out of my city of Nashville to a new city. And being that I work out of my home as a writer and a voiceover artist, you know, I really don't have a lot of opportunity to get out and meet people. So I have been on a dating site, and I've had a few dates, and I've met a couple of really, really nice men. Nobody that I really think that chemistry and that real spark is there with. So, I mean, I'm hoping I would love to be in relationship with the right man for me. I would. But if that doesn't happen, I'll be okay. I'll be fine. And, if I had to say from my heart of hearts, of course we're wired to be in relationship. Are you kidding me? I'm an Italian passionate woman, and I love relationship. I love family. I love, you know, the whole thing. So I would very much welcome that with the right guy.
You have some really great advice in the book, Connie, about dating, about online dating, and about the process of finding the right guy. If you're out to find the right guy. So I would really invite those listening to check out this book, The You Plan, A Christian Woman's Guide for a Happy, Healthy Life After Divorce. Just listen to some of the chapters in the book. The Real Lifestyle Lift, You and Forgiveness, You and Being Alone, You and Dating, You and Sex, You and Money, You and Respect, and The Ultimate You Plan. I do have a couple more questions about just kind of your experience with divorce. Because you brought up a pastor's wife earlier. There are some denominations, Connie, that quite frankly almost consider divorce the unforgivable sin. How were you treated by your church and your Christian friends?
Well, they treated me wonderfully. And, you know, we can't be in the dark about this anymore, Joe. Divorce happens to Christians. As a matter of fact, it happens just as much to Christians as it does to those in the secular world. We all know that the divorce rate is over 50%. And so that's one of the reasons why we did write the book, because for some people, they get shunned. They feel like they're walking around with the scarlet letter, and the scarlet letter is D. You know, you've got this big D on you, and you stand out like, you stick out like a sore thumb because you're a divorced person. But churches are now really getting it. They have divorce care. They have Sunday school classes that are for people that are divorced and are trying to rebuild their lives. And so I think churches are finally coming around and saying, hey, look, this is something that we're dealing with. People are getting divorced and we have to address it, you know. And so I felt like I was not shunned in any way. My friends were very supportive. My church was very supportive. There was a divorce care class going on over there. I got involved in that, and I took the class years later. I was a facilitator for divorce care. So there's help out there for Christian people that are going through a divorce, and you don't have to walk around with your head hung in shame or anything like that. There's help, and healing and hope.
You know, I think the Bible's clear that God doesn't like divorce. And there's even a part of the Bible that says he hates divorce. But we also have realize that we're called to be children of a forgiving God, children of a merciful God, and children of a God of grace. And that's how we're to be with each other. And while, no, God doesn't like divorce, we're called to be about forgiveness and mercy and grace.
Absolutely. And honestly, that was the hardest part of my healing and why I got stuck, because it was hard for me to come to the place of forgiveness. Forgiving my spouse, forgiving the other woman, it was a difficult thing for me to get to that place, and I knew God required it of me. Scripture is very, very, very clear about forgiveness. But I think we also have some distorted thinking about forgiveness where we think, you know, it's all kissy face, huggy kissy, and let's go have breakfast, lunch, and dinner just because I forgive you. And it's not about that at all. Forgiveness is primarily done really for your own benefit, so you could just rid yourself of that bitterness and that anger, and you could move forward in your life. Because if you can't forgive, you're in jail, you're stuck, you're walking on a treadmill, but you're going nowhere. You're taking those steps, but you're still standing in the same place. You don't want to do that. You want to move forward. So you have to figure out how you're going to forgive. And I just came out and I told the Lord, Lord, you know I can't do this by myself. It's just not in the Connie Wetzel Italian heritage, you know. The Italians, you do something wrong to them and it's like, you're dead to me. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you, you know. And so I was brought up with that kind of thinking. So I had to come to the place where, you know, I had to be able to forgive. So I said, Lord, you know what? I can't do it, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit to take over in this flesh of mine that can't do this thing and help me to get to the other side of this. And I'd take two steps forward and then something would happen and a little bit of salt would get rubbed in the wound and I'd take a step backward. It's a process. It's a process. But you finally, you know, I'm okay with it now. And I do have to say, time is a huge healer. Huge healer. We're 10 years down the road now. And, you know, I mean, I have forgiven my husband. I have forgiven his wife. We're not best buddies, but I can be in the same room. I can be gracious. I conduct myself as a woman of God because people are watching the way I act. And so I need to, you know, when you call yourself a believer, you're held up to a certain standard. But I'll tell you, you know, that's why I say, don't put a fish on the back of your car. Are you kidding me right now? If you put a fish on the back of your car, you can't have road rage. Right. You can't get upset about anything. I mean, so people watch you. But I was able to do it. God helped me, and I'm, you know, I'm good with it. I'm good. I forgave, and I'm moving forward.
Connie, this book, The You Plan, A Christian Woman's Guide for a Happy, Healthy Life After Divorce, is obviously written by women, for women, about mm-hmm. the women, this place in their life, whether they're, actually, frankly, whether they're single, divorced, getting married, in a mm-hmm. marriage right now. There is advice for women in all stages of relationships and all stages in life in this book. Just a great, great, important book. I do want to ask you one question. Since this book is written about women to women, can you give the ex-husbands out there some advice about healing and family and how to treat their ex-wife?
Wow. That is a loaded question, and I've never gotten that question before, but I can just tell you this, just by you asking me this. If an ex-husband could go to his ex-wife and just say, especially if he was the initiator of the divorce, and he was the one who wanted out. Look, I know that I hurt you. I really, in fact, know that I went against the will of God, because God does hate divorce. If a guy could come to that place and just say, I'm sorry for the pain that I've caused in your life. I'm sorry for what happened to our children and for what they've had to deal with and how they've had to adjust as a result of our divorce. And will you forgive me? If an ex-husband could say that to a wife, that would be gold. That would be gold. Now, if he, you know, I'm sure, you know, most of these guys have moved on with their lives, but I've heard of some men that have even gone to their exes and went a step further and said, and I regret that I left. Now, some guys aren't going to be able to say that, but some guys have said, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't have taken that step. I mean, if you can say that and you can say that to your ex, then it takes away all those feelings like we were talking about in the beginning. Oh, I was okay. I was good enough. I wasn't too much this. I wasn't too much that. I guess I was okay. It helps her know that there really wasn't much else that she could have done, you know, to save the marriage. If he just apologizes and asks forgiveness. But a lot of men can't do that, but that would be a huge help. And also to be very sensitive, if they have another woman in their lives, to be sensitive and about how this new woman approaches the children and the grandchildren, and to be more sensitive to, wow, what must my ex think about that or feel about that, and just be a little bit more sensitive to how she feels. That would be a huge help.
We are talking with Connie Wetzel about her new book, The You Plan, A Christian Woman's Guide for a Happy, Healthy Life After Divorce. Connie, this show is about faith, specifically your faith and how you live out your belief in God. How did you come to faith in Jesus Christ?
Well, first of all, Joe, I was raised as a Catholic, and I lived with my grandmother for a while. My mother and my grandmothers were very devout Catholics, women of faith, and very strong prayer warriors. And then I went to a Catholic school from grades 1 through 8, which means I went to Mass every day. I had nuns. I had religion class. So I had a very strong belief in Jesus Christ and the Christian faith. But when I was 20 years old, I was working at a real estate office, and my boss came up and actually started witnessing to me, and he asked me if I knew Jesus Christ as my personal savior. Well, that was the weirdest question I've ever heard. I'm like, what do you mean? I mean, I know who Jesus Christ is. He's the Son of God, and I believe that he is, and I'm a Catholic, you know. Yeah, but do you know on a personal level? Do you know him? Do you have an intimate relationship with him? And I'm like, well, I pray to him, you know. And, well, anyway, he invited me to a Bible study at his home. And I went to the Bible study just to get brownie points with the boss. I figured, I'm going to go to this Bible study because maybe I'll get a promotion over here at this job. Well, anyway, the Bible study, it was the first time that I actually read the Bible, because in all of our religion teachings in the Catholic school, we never really opened the Bible. And I'm like, wow, this is what the Bible said. That day and age, they gave me it was called the Living Bible, and it was a modern day translation, and I was reading this, and it was making sense, and it was beautiful, and I started going to this Bible study every week, and I was just getting more and more drawn in. And then they took me to a church service at their church, and there was an altar call, and I went forward. I decided that I wanted to, you know, have a personal relationship with Christ, invite him into my life. And as I, you know, read that word, and I cultivated and nurtured that relationship. And that's how I became a believer at the age of 20. I mean, a real believer who is active in the faith and interested in a personal, intimate relationship with Christ.
Great. You know, you've certainly been through a lot, Connie, and we just got through talking much about your life and your, the ups and downs of your divorce and everything that you've gone through. But since becoming a believer in Jesus Christ, have you ever doubted your faith or even the existence of God?
Doubted my faith. There certainly have been times when my faith has been weak, and that comes through, again, going back to the Italian heritage, as kind of a worrier, one that worries a lot, one that doubts from time to time. But I really, really, I mean, I know that God is with me. I know that he's there. I journal my blessings. I keep records of answered prayer and how he's come through for me. And he has spoken to me so beautifully through his word and through specific, vivid dreams that he has given me. I know that he is there and he's a constant in my life. And so, yes, there are times that my faith has been weak. I feel like I'm getting hit from all angles, and it's like, really, God, are you kidding me right now? I got to go through this while I'm going through that. You know how sometimes you just feel overwhelmed, but I don't ever doubt that there is a God and there's somebody watching over me and has my back. And I have that promise that he's not going to let me go through anything that I can't handle, you know, and 1 Corinthians 10:13, he's not going to let me go through anything that I can't handle. He'll provide a way out. So yes, my faith does get tested. It gets weak at times, but never, you know, I always come back around.
Hey, Connie, let's do a round of instant insight into Connie Wetzel. This is where I'm going to ask you quick questions, Connie, and you simply answer with questions that'll make us feel like your best friend when we're done. Fair enough?
Okay.
All right. What single person, and Connie, you're not allowed to say Jesus, had the biggest impact in your life?
What single person had the biggest impact in my life? Yikes. Oh my gosh, that I really have to think about that. The first person I think about right now off the bat is a very, very dear friend of mine who's been single her entire life, and that's Kathy Tricoli. And she walked through a lot of my divorce with me, and prayed with me, and was very, she gave me a book that changed my life called Redeeming Love by Francine Rivers. And she signed it, and she gave it to me for my birthday, and she said, "This book, my friend, is God's very best." And it's a beautiful story that Francine Rivers wrote, a fictional story around the book of Hosea. I think Kathy's had a pretty big impact on me.
Sure sounds like it. The most exciting thing I ever did was?
Okay, this is what comes to my mind. These are first things that come to my mind. Most exciting thing I ever did was I sailed across the Atlantic from New York to Genoa, Italy. It was a 9-day venture out at sea across the Atlantic to Italy. I was a young girl, had a great time, and traveling and on my own and young and free, and it was great.
No kidding. That sounds very, very cool. God is?
God is. Wow. God is my redeemer, my counselor, my portion, my lover, my healer, my all in all, my everything.
This may be a loaded question, but the one life decision I would do over would be?
The one life decision I would do over, I would have chose a different career path. I would have been one of two things. I would have either been an opera singer, or I would have been an anchor woman like Diane Sawyer or Katie Couric or one of these people on the big networks.
My next big career move is?
That's it. No, I don't think I can be an anchor woman anymore, nor an opera singer.
We're going to see open up at the Opera House in Australia or see you on the CBS Evening News. Huh?
Next big career move is I just want to get some, I'd like to get some really, really big national voiceover accounts and maybe write more books.
That's
and
right.
Sing more.
You're a voiceover artist as well, aren't you?
That's right. That's really how I make the most of my living is as a voiceover artist.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Michelle Borges really needs to?
Michelle Borges really needs to call me more often.
In the past year, I paid way too much for?
Oh, I paid way too much for eating out. I am a foodie. And now I live in Northern California, and this is the biggest food extravaganza place. And everything is organic and fresh and wonderful. And again, going back to the Italian roots, I am a foodie, so I have many restaurants to explore, and I've spent way too much eating out.
Connie, what single Bible passage has the most meaning to you?
And of course I have many, but one that I absolutely love is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path.
I'm afraid of?
Oh my goodness. I'm afraid of water. I can't swim. And that's how the three of us kids, I have two siblings. We're all musicians. We're all left-handed, and none of us can swim. I'm afraid of water.
There's a really bad joke in there somewhere. Here you are, Connie, accomplished author, radio personality, successful voiceover artist. Your books and show has helped thousands of people. What does success mean to you today?
Success to me today doesn't really have anything to do that much with my career. It has to do with the impact I have on my family, my children, and my grandchildren. That they would say that my mother is a believer and she lived her life that way. That the Lord really was number one, and although she wasn't perfect or isn't perfect, that she really, really tried to live for Jesus or tries to live for Jesus and make a mark on people's lives by the things that she does in her work, voiceover and in writing, and just in relationships with friends and people. My kids and my grandkids, to see them serving the Lord and learning from some of the mistakes I've made would be a big blessing to me.
Finally, as we wrap up, Connie, what would you say to that person that is right on faith's edge, about to make that choice to believe or not to believe in God?
I would say to them, what have you got to lose by believing in God? What happened? I mean, if you believe in God and you've lived a life for Christ and you die, and let's just say that this whole thing is bogus, and that there really isn't a heaven, and there is, so you die. Big deal. You still have lived a fabulous life for Christ, and you believed in it, but you died, and it was all bogus, and then you're just in the ground. But let's say that this stuff is all true, that there really is an eternity, and there really is a God, which I know in my heart there is. Then you've lived your life well, and now you're going to have that reward for eternity with Christ. No more weeping, no more tears, no more sorrow. Just joy and love for eternity. Isn't it worth it for this minuscule time we have on this planet?
I don't think we can see anything more than that, Connie. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I really appreciate talking with you. The book is The You Plan, A Christian Woman's Guide for a Happy, Healthy Life After Divorce. This is an important book. Thank you so much for being with us, Connie.
Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate you having me on.
God bless you, my friend. This is a tough, tough subject. Wow. But Connie faced it head on, and I think she does a great, great job. She said, if you can't forgive, you're in jail. You're stuck. Then she went on to admit that she couldn't forgive. But she gave it to God, and now she finds herself free. What a great, great job. Thank you, Connie. I certainly appreciate you being on the show. The You Plan is available on Amazon and book retailers everywhere. Connie's website is conniewetzel.com, and the book site is youplanbook.com. Links to other projects of Connie's are in today's show notes at onfaithsedge.com/23. That's onfaithsedge.com/23. And as a special gift, we are giving away one free copy of The You Plan. All you need to do is go to onfaithsedge.com and sign up for show updates. And over the next couple weeks, we will choose one person at random to receive a free copy. Thank you so much for listening today. I really appreciate you being here. You mean a lot to me, and you certainly mean a lot to this show. Let me know what you think of the show today. What are your thoughts on divorce? Do you have your own story? I would love to hear from you. Go to onfaithsedge.com/23 and leave your comments, and we'll have a conversation. And of course, if you like the show, would you be kind enough to leave an honest rating and comment on iTunes? iTunes is by far the biggest portal to shows like this one. It really helps the show's exposure and gets the word out about On Faith's Edge. The iTunes link to the show is onfaithsedge.com/iTunes. That's onfaithsedge.com/iTunes. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. Remember, God is real and eternity is now. Let's go out and live like it. God bless.